But today I'm going out to New Brajadam in the afternoon. We have another couple of appointments today. Yesterday's appointments were successful, very nice. I hesitated momentarily because I don't want to mislead people with the success. For me, success in this venture counts really in getting thousands and thousands of signatures that we haven't yet achieved, but we're making good contacts. We're getting many people to fill out their tax forms, and we're reaching hundreds and thousands, but we don't know as yet how many of those will actually fill out the forms, how many will choose us to give their tax-deductible income to. And today at 1 o'clock I have one place to go to in the afternoon. Someone else will come here, and then after that drive down to New Brajadam, although I suspect there'll be quite a bit of traffic for the Easter weekend. I'm going to just refer to this morning's class also. It may be a little shorter podcast than usual, and doesn't refer to the quite a few questions that I have waiting, but I will have more time to address those when I actually do get to New Brajadam over the weekend. And today's theme continues from yesterday's. In fact, it's both a very important theme, and also I'll make reference to one very beautiful verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, one of my favorites. And today Sanat Kumar was saying, "My dear king," talking to King Prithu, "you already have an inclination to glorify the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such attachment is very difficult to achieve, but when one has attained such unflinching faith in the Lord, it automatically cleanses lusty desires from the core of the heart." In the Sanskrit, this lusty desires is actually repeated. The word there is used as kamam, lusty, kashayam, the establishment of lusty desire, malam, dirty. So there's repetition going on over there. And then it says, from where? Anta atmana, from the core of the heart. What's really important here, and this wasn't the verse I was referring to, I'll just quote that in a moment. What's really important here to note is that only the process of devotional service, which has at its core chanting and hearing Krishna's glories, is capable of actually getting rid of lusty desires within the heart. Nothing else does. No other spiritual practice can actually free a conditioned soul from the results of his past karma, from his desires. At best, they can create a state of equilibrium with the modes of material nature, with one's pushings, inner pushings, lower urges. But that state of equilibrium, like any state of equilibrium, can be thrown out of whack and thrown off balance at any time by even the slightest and most insignificant event. Srimad Bhagavatam is full of stories of how gyanis, yogis, karmis fall down because they were distracted and they lost their balance in austerity and penance, and therefore they fell down. Such an insignificant thing that the yogi Sovari Muni, who just by seeing fish mating, not exactly what you'd call something, a really titillating experience, and from that he gave up his yogic practices. And this truth is confirmed in this verse now, which I'm going to quote, and I'm going to read the Sanskrit because it's also so beautiful, and it's a verse that Vaishnavas should memorize, know well. This also in the same chapter, and it's Sanat Kumar still speaking. He says, Yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya karma swayam gratita mudgratayanti shanta tadvan rikta matayo yatato pirudha shoto ganasta maranam majavashideva. And translated, that says, the devotees who are always engaged in the service of the toes of the lotus feet of the Lord can very easily overcome hard-knotted desires for fruit of actions. Because this is very difficult, the non-devotees, the gyanis and yogis, although trying to stop the waves of sense gratification, cannot do so. Therefore, you are advised to engage in the devotional service of Krishna, the son of Vasudeva. So it's self-explanatory here that prarabdha karma is not something that gyanis, yogis, karmis, what to speak of those who practice sub-religious principles can actually really free themselves of. And therefore, they continue to be obliged to engage in sinful activity sooner or later. It's only devotional service, which is a transcendental activity that has the ability to purify the heart. Krishna says, bhaktya mama vijanati. Only by bhakti can he be known. And that means that only by bhakti can the heart become purified, and within a pure heart can Krishna then be seen in the mirror of the heart. Thus, devotees must be very careful that their devotional practices are not mixed with traces of karma, gyan, and yoga, because when they are, then that type of devotional service is not even sufficient in order to elevate one to the spiritual platform. It may qualify one for pure devotional service later, but as here it is stated, pure devotional service with unflinching faith in the Lord, that is what will actually cleanse the lusty desires within the core of the heart. And here this word core is used, anta atmana. So atmana means the heart, and anta means right at the core. And the root of lusty desires goes deep. It's both pervasive, it goes out broad, and it also goes very deep. We can interpret lusty desire to mean sex desire. We can interpret it more broadly in order to mean the desire for enjoying the senses in general. In either case, the tendency, both gross and subtle, is all pervasive throughout all aspects of our life, throughout all times of the day, through all types of living entities in any part of the world. And it goes very deep within the heart, because even if its grosser aspects are purified, the subtle aspects in terms of kutinati, jiva, hinsa, lobha, puja, desire for worship and fame and adoration, they still linger there. And to get out all traces of these things, you need something very, very powerful. When I was studying metallurgy, and I was metallurgical engineering for 4 years. And when I was studying that, one of the things which you had to do is learn how to clean ores, crushed ores, in order to clean off dirt, clean off so many things. And it was understood that unless you actually rinsed something and washed it at least 8 times, it remained contaminated. I'm just emphasizing that cleansing is something that doesn't happen with a one-off thing. It has to be done well, it has to be done repeatedly, but it has to be done with the right thing. If you don't do it with the right substance, then it doesn't work. So the only right substance is pure devotional service. That is the only thing that will really cleanse the heart. And that means chanting and hearing attentively, not allowing our minds to be distracted, because when we see the emphasis that's placed upon the dirty things in the heart, upon lusty desires, upon the depth to which they are, and the broadness to which they are, we realize that it's serious business. Therefore, we should place all our energy into such devotional activity and not get distracted thinking that yoga or karma or any of these things will at all help in any way. They cannot. They're material things. They have no access to such realms of material contamination. Indeed, they just increase that contamination by the conditioning that they offer. As mentioned the other day, how the mode of goodness, although it's actually purifying, one can be conditioned by the mode of goodness because it also offers certain allurements. So if one has been fortunate enough to actually become attached to chanting Hare Krishna, to hearing about the Lord, he's a very fortunate person, because in this verse, that attachment, strong attachment, is equated with unflinching faith. And it's unflinching faith that's the price for pure devotional service, for unflinching devotional service. And mamcha yoga vicharena bhakti yogina sevate saguna. That's how you become saguna. Only by unflinching devotional service can you transcend the modes of material nature, and only by becoming transcendental does one actually have the opportunity to enter into Krishna's association. No other way. Hare Krishna.